This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of First United Methodist Church here in Rock Springs. As Christmas 2021 approaches, it has been another difficult year for many, and some seeing little hope for the year to come. The significance of Christmas often gets lost in hopelessness, stress, and worry. Yet, it is the very person that Christmas represents, Jesus, our Christ, who provides answers to the distractions swirling around us. It is the Christ of Christmas who fills our lives with His hope, joy, peace, and love, even in the midst of our struggles and doubts. We are a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. You're invited to join us in worship Sundays at 10:30 a.m. at 1515 Egger Street, just above the high school. From everyone here at Rock Springs First Methodist, we wish you a very Merry Christ-filled Christmas.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live on Sunday, December 26, 2021, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Good morning. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord of life, of love, of peace, of time itself, thank you for the gifts we have in our lives. Help us to speak about your perfect gifts, your wonderful works, every day in ordinary ways and places. This we pray in the name of the one who is your most perfect gift, Jesus our Christ. Amen.
Glorious God, hear our voice, hear our hearts, hear our prayers, our supplications, and our intercessions lifted before you on this Lord's Day. Father, yesterday we celebrated the birth of your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Christ, Emmanuel, God among us. We celebrated with family and friends, we pray, but we may have also mourned the loss of those who could not be there for many different reasons. But Father, today we come on the Sunday after Christmas. How very seldom this happens. We can still sing the Christmas songs, for He is indeed born and He is still alive. Father, we praise you and we thank you for all your love, grace, and mercy. For the blessings of families and friendships, for blessings of time shared together. Father, for the gift of love that we share one with another, greater than any gift that we could buy at a store, make in a shop, or imagine in our mind, is love shared. Your love poured out for us in the very person of Christ. But your love poured out with each other into our hearts that we would love one another. Father, we come this morning with many needs, spoken, unspoken, silently tucked away into the recesses of our hearts and minds. But you see in all of those places, you know all of those things. People who we don't know have called upon us to pray for them. May we be found faithful in that. And Father, coming up on this Tuesday is a service to celebrate the life of one of ours and one of yours. And Father, we remember those things in this family as they went through this holiday season. For those among us who suffer and are hurting, for those who will travel during inclement weather, for those who couldn't be here for many different reasons but would be here in heart. Father, we lift them up. Forgive us our sins. And Father, for the world in which we live, we pray, both in our local communities, our nation, and the world. Father, we pray that Christ be proclaimed, but that Christ would be accepted. Father, we would pray that the snares of the devil would come undone, the deception and lies would be revealed, and truth sought after, that greed, selfishness, and agendas would be laid aside for the common good in the name of Christ. And Father, these may be huge, huge prayers, but you are an awesome God. And with you, all things are possible. Father, we'd pray for a worldwide revival, that people would come to you through Jesus Christ, who is the only way to you. John 14:6 reminds us. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. Through love, grace, and his sacrifice. It began at Christmas and continued even to today. Father, we pray for those who are sick and shut in. We pray for those who care for them. We pray for those who serve our country in whatever capacity that may be, who give of their life, gifts, talents, and time to answer the calls, to heed the pleas. Father, we pray for them today. And now we'd ask that you hear us as we join our own hearts and voices, praying as you taught your disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture reading for this morning is from Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety. He said to them, Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? But they did not understand what he had said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. The word of God for the people of God.
To see into the life of Mary and Joseph and Jesus, to see the customs that they followed, the customs that influenced their life, and Christ and a vision and a glimpse into what the life of Christ was like, who he was as this young man, and then what Luke says about him in that last verse, that he grew not just in years, but in relationships. So let's dig into it. As was their custom, so for 12 years, this would be their 12th year at least, for the life of Jesus, Mary and Joseph had taken this trip. It was quite an expensive trip for them. It was quite a long trip for them. It was not an easy trip for them, but it was something that every Israelite dreamed of doing, was going to Jerusalem every year for the Passover, a week-long celebration. Now, how many of you, as a kid, remember going to the same place more than once with your parents? Did you figure out the things to do as a kid? You know, if you got to go to the same place more than once, you figured out the places the kids went, right? You know, you got that down pat. So can you imagine Jesus growing up, going to Passover? I bet he had that place wired, don't you? I bet he knew where all the kids were, where all the kids was hanging out, and I bet he knew where the food was at. I've learned that kids figure that one out too. They figure out where to go play and where to eat. They don't care about baths. They don't care about all of that other stuff. That's not a worry at all. It's those things. So, you know, these kids have it wired. Well, it would have been no different, I wouldn't think, for a normal kid growing up to kind of know, well, here we go again. We're going with all of our relatives. Everybody that can go is going to go. We got a caravan up there. It takes us 3 days to get there. We got... And smelly camels all the way. We got to stay in tents. Oh, my. But wait a minute. Bobby's going and Susie. You know, my friends are going too. So then it's not so bad, right? As soon as you get the chores done. It's not so bad. Yeah, our kids have chores. I think kids should have. So here's Jesus. We go up. We get there. We're hanging out. We're doing our thing. We get ready to go home. Mary and Joseph have gone a day away. It's the evening time. It's time to, you know, gather the kids in. You know, it was like some people had the rule when the street lights went out, you had to go home. We didn't have street lights. You just needed to be home before it was too dark to be noticed if you were the right kid coming home or not. But you had to be home. So Mary and Joseph look around. Where's this kid? Tent to be set up. All this is going on. But you need to remember, what the Bible don't tell us is by the time of Jesus' 12th birthday, she's got four more. Can you imagine this trek with five kids? He did have brothers and sisters, by the way. So you know, Mary had her hands full. How many of you want to go on a week-long camping Exodus with four or five kids? With your neighbors. And their kids. There was no peace in the tent yards that night. So now you got this going on. They can't find him. Oh, shoot, we've left one behind. What are we going to do with these other ones? So you give them off to the family, and you make a day's trip back. A day's trip. Now imagine if your kid was missing, and you really loved him and want to go back and find him, how worried would you be? How anxious would you be? And you've got a full day to think about all that. I'm going to tear him up, man. When I find that one, I'm going to love him and hug him, and then I'm going to whip him real good. I'll teach him to treat me that way. And sure enough, they go in to look around. It takes them all day to find him. Have you thought about that? Now, Nicholas is the closest thing to 12 in our house now. He's 13, thinks he's 40. But I would not start looking for Nicholas down here at the church. Sorry, that's not where I would expect to find him. If I couldn't find Nicholas, I would first go to Max and Darcy's to see if he was down there playing. That'd be my first stop, which would come down the hill. Then the next place would be Rec Center, depending on whether his bicycle was home or not. Because if he's got his wheels, he's more mobile, distances can be covered. Then I go check in with some of his friends down this way. That's where I would start. Next place would be bike and track. You know, bike and track to a 12, 13-year-old boy is like a used car lot to a grown man. It's the same thing. You go ahead and look at all them bicycles, you know. Oh, man, look at that one. And he comes home and he tells me, I saw Sunday, I saw this, I saw, you know, all of those things. It's kind of like he'll start coming home and say, Papa, I saw a Chevelle, I saw a Ford, I saw, the fumes will have set in. Finally, they find him. He's over at the church. And he's hanging out with the scribes and the Pharisees and the elders and all the, he's not just hanging out in the corner, he's sitting in the middle of them. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you expect to find a 12-year-old boy in church? Would you be expecting a 12-year-old boy to be having an intelligent conversation with them? Asking questions, and mom and dad looking at him, and they're amazed. They're amazed that he's there. They're amazed. They're astonished. They can't believe it. And Jesus looks at them and says, where did you think I would be? Did you not know me? I'm not like those other kids. I'm a little different. I'm about my Father's house. Father's house. That wasn't the real big insult. Could have been taken as one. But he was honoring God even at 12. You see, Jesus had something that we have. It's called free will. Free will. He didn't have to be there. He chose to be. Then it says, and he went back with them, and he was subject to them. In other words, he listened. He obeyed. Because commandment number 5 is important, that we obey our parents, that our days may be long upon the earth, and that parents, that we would not anger our children. That's in there too. We sometimes leave that one part off. You know, it's not as convenient. So now we've got Jesus. He's gone back to Bethlehem. He's growing up with Mary and Joseph and brothers and sisters. We don't know much else about that, but we do know that Luke gives us this little last verse that says, and he grew in his reputation with man as integrity, as honesty, as being a good person, in his faith and his godliness. He was growing in all of those things. Young Jesus, the young man, was growing to be a good person, a good man. And then he begins teaching. And going out into the countryside. And we realize that Jesus is not just God among us, but that he's fully human as much as you and I are. Because Jesus had free will, he could have chosen to reject what God had called him to do. You see, it wasn't just God come to be with us, hang out and check it out. No, it was God living a human life, who was hot, who was cold, who was rejected, who was ridiculed, who was betrayed, who was beaten. All of those things he suffered loss. He had suffered through the loss of Joseph, his father, on earth. He had been through different tragedies in his life. He had saw many things as anyone in that time period would have. And then Jesus gets baptized by John. Anybody remember that story? And immediately the heavens opened up. And God said, and everybody heard him, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. And immediately, high time, God said this. Now he's taken away by the devil. And he's taken away by the devil. And he's tempted for 40 days in the wilderness. And afterwards, he's starved to death. I asked Nicholas in Sunday school, would you be hungry after 40 days of not eating? What would you do if you had it in your power? And you think about this too. And the devil shows up and he says, man, you are hungry. Remember, the devil always tempts you. If you are, you know, if you say who you are, then you've got the power to do something about it. You can do it yourself. Turn that rock into bread that you maybe eat. And Jesus said to him, quoting the very word of God, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then Jesus is taken up to a high mountain. And the devil says, look at all of this. Do you see it all? If you will bow down to me, I'll give you everything that you see. Fame, fortune, power, authority. You can have this whole world. And Jesus said, there is only one God. Back to the Word of God again. Thou shalt have no other gods before him. And then he takes him to the pinnacle of the temple. That very place where Jesus had went every year. That very place where he was found as a young boy teaching and afterwards. And he takes him up to the spire, the top of the temple, where he can look down into the courtyard and all those good church folks down there. All of those good Israelite people, they're down there lined up to make their sacrifices. They're lined up, the priests are up there, oh, yeah, slinging blood on them with the hyssops, and all of that stuff's going on down there. And devil's got old Jesus up on there. He says, you know, I know a little scripture too. And the devil quotes him. He says, the Word of God says that if you're truly the Son of God, that he will bear you up on the wings of angels and no harm will come to you. Cast yourself off the roof of this temple, down into that courtyard, and let them see you lifted up. See God lifting you up, and then they'll believe that you're the Son of God. And Jesus turns back to the Word of God one more time and says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And the devil flees. God takes Jesus away and ministers to him. You see, Jesus had free will, just as do you and I. He could have taken any of the offers. They were on the table. And then Jesus would come to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he would bow his head, praying so hard that he would literally sweat blood drops. And he would say to his Father, if it would be your will to let this cup pass from me, if there is any way, but not my will, but your will be done. You see, free will. Temptation, he knew. Power, he had at his disposal. Could have used at any time. But he chose God's will. Now, Pastor, what's all that mean? It's a nice story. Let's get to it. Let's get down to what it is. How many of you really want somebody to tell you what you should do and they've never experienced it in their life? I mean, honest and truly. How many of us want somebody to tell us, to give us advice that don't know what they're talking about? Honestly, I am not going to listen to somebody that don't even have a tool set tell me how to fix my car. It's just not going to happen. You can't read enough popular mechanics, well, I don't guess you can anymore, or watch enough YouTubes to be able to tell me why my transmission's slipping in an 03 Ford F-250 for E07D transmission. But now if you know what I just said, you might could tell me a little bit about what's going on in there. How many of you could tell me how to rebuild the turbocharger on a 7.3 Power Stroke diesel? Come on, come on. Ken saw what it's like. It ain't no fun. And if you don't know what you're doing, when you dive off, literally dive off in there, you're in trouble. Because these places you work in, if you don't know what it's there, you can't see it. It ain't happening. So I don't, if you ain't experienced that, don't you try to tell me what to do. But if you've experienced it, please tell me a better way. I'm all ears. When you mess up, and well, maybe nobody does. When I mess up, I could appreciate it if somebody's been there. If they've been there too. If they've saw that too, if they've experienced that as well, I remember one of the hardest struggles that I had to overcome. My dad had advanced rapid onset dementia, Alzheimer's. It's going really fast. And Daddy had signed a living will. And he didn't want feeding tubes. He didn't want any of that stuff. Well, my mom and my sisters overrode that. And I was livid. Because I felt like my dad had that choice. And they did not. Until you've been at the point of death, don't try to tell someone else how they should face it. Don't sit on your high horse. Folks, I've got news for you. There's worse things than dying. My daddy knew what that diagnosis meant. My daddy knew that time was slipping away. My daddy knew that there would come a time when he didn't know his family. There would come a time when he couldn't control his own actions. That he couldn't even control his own body functions. But he could make the choice. Free will. Freedom of choice. You see, I know what it's like to be at that door. I knew what it was like to be at that door when my daddy was at that door. But I was also a pastor, and I'd saw those doors before with members, family members, and loved ones as they struggled with the very question of the feeding tubes and the extended life things. I stayed out of them because it wasn't my decision to make. It was my choice to love them despite the decision they would have to make. And you see, that's God's choice for us. You are going to be tempted in many ways, and Jesus knows that. Jesus knows that you're going to be hot, you're going to be cold, you're going to be hungry, you're going to be hurt, you're going to be betrayed. He knows that. He knows that the devil's going to show up to tempt you, that the devil's going to show up to show you something that's prettier, that the devil's going to show you a shortcut, the devil's going to show you an easy out, the devil's going to bring in the things that tickle the flesh, the devil's going to bring in all of these things. God does not abandon you, but you can ignore God and make your own choices without him. But he still won't leave you despite our bad choices, despite our mistakes. I don't understand. How many of you understand that about God? Have you understood how God can love us the way he loves us despite our faults and failures and stupidity sometimes? Despite our rebelliousness, despite our obstinacy, despite knowing better. How many of you have done stupid things knowing it was going to be stupid? Just me, I guess. Okay. You know, I have pains today from stupid I did a long time ago. I mean, that's just the way it is. You are free to make your choices, but you're not free from the consequences. But God will love you despite it. You see, for me, Jesus understands. And for me, that's important. When I bow my head and say, Lord, I really messed up today and I made a bad choice. I lost my temper. I said something I shouldn't have. I didn't do what I should have. And what I did do, I did wrong. He understands. He doesn't pat me on the back and say, it's okay. He says, you messed up. But he says, I love you anyway. You see, the devil will trip you in, drag you in, and then leave you alone. He'll bring you into pain. He'll bring you into sorrow. He'll bring you into loss of integrity, loss of morality, loss of everything. And say, I'm out of here. Got to go get another one. But God will never lead you to a place that He'll abandon you. And He'll always understand your struggle in getting there. But don't ever forget He's there. Don't forget to study, pray, and know His Word. That's your tool against the enemy. Right there. Pastor, I don't know how to do this. Right there. Book. Get the instruction manual out. It's there. Take time with it. Pastor, I don't understand it. Then that's what this is for. That you would fellowship one with us. That's why we have Bible studies and Sunday schools and all of those things, that you would increase in that knowledge and that exposure. You see, Jesus wasn't a baby forever. They grow up, don't they? This one just finished you up. How does it happen? Now, we know it's going to happen. We just don't want it to. Whatever you're facing, whatever trial, whatever tribulation, whatever temptation, turn to God, not to your own understanding. Trust in God, not in your own knowledge. Go to the book. Go to the Creator. Go to the Christ who understands, who knows, and who's experienced it. Go to Him. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Our gracious and loving God, may You hear our hearts and prayers. And may we lift them up to You. And Father, if we face many, many, many things in our lives, we face many, many, many situations that we don't understand. We face temptations, whether we're a young person, kind of middle of the road, or getting a little over on top of the hill, temptation is still there to go our way, to do our thing. And Father, most of the time, that's not so good. Help us to trust in You, to trust in You because You know us. You know what it's like to be tempted. You know what it's like to be hungry. You know what it's like to be deserted and abandoned. Be alone. Father, You know what it's like to be hurt, to be betrayed by your closest friends. You know everything that we may face and everything we may go through. So, Father, You are the one to whom we can turn when we don't know and we don't understand. We could trust in You, for You do. You've been there. You've done that. And You've come out on the other side to give us hope in where we are. You've promised that You would never leave us alone and that You would be with us always. Let us hold on and trust in that promise, for it is certain and true. For each one of us here today, for whatever's on our hearts and in our minds, Father, let us know that we can turn to Jesus Christ, turn to You in the name of Jesus, and find hope, help, grace, and mercy. Even if we don't understand it, You do. Hear our hearts and prayers lifted in the name of Jesus, our Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer. Amen. Now may we go in grace, peace, and mercy. May we go to trust in Christ, who knows what it's like to walk as we walk, to serve as we serve. May we trust in Him. May we call upon Him. May we seek Him in both our lives, in our service, in our journey. And now may you go in peace in the name of the Father, the Son, and thank you.
worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.